Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, again, we come before you on this, the last great day. We come before you, Father, with humbled hearts, seeking a blessing, because we've kept your Feast of Tabernacles. 7 days we've kept. Now we've entered into the last great day, and we ask, Father, that you would truly bless your servants. Each and every one that has made a covenant with you, we ask, Father, that our vows that we make before you would be heard and that we would keep those vows, Father, because you've given us the answer from your end. Your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, whom you've given to each one of us, his shed blood has cleansed our sins. So we vow, Father, to be faithful and to keep your covenant law. And we ask, Father, that if we've stumbled in any point of your law, that you would forgive us, that you would bless us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you again, Father, for our life, health, and strength, for providing us with our basic needs, our housing, our food. Father, we know that we are frail and that our lives can slip at any time. But we have an advocate with you, Yahshua the Messiah. And because of the Holy Spirit you've given us, we have a resurrection assured. So help us, Father, to be faithful in all things. And we ask, Father, that you would open our hearts to receive your implanted word, and that your word would have free course in us, and that it would teach us and cause us to draw closer to you as we seek to do your will and to be your obedient servants. So we thank you, Father, for blessing us with the opportunity to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles to observe this last great day and to give honor and glory to you and to sing praise to your name and to thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled "The Heart of the Matter." For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we say does matter, brethren, to each other and to Yahweh. Our vows are forever. Our vows are forever. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in that which is to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. What kind of fruit are we showing Almighty Yahweh with what comes out of our mouths? You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil things. And I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Turn to Numbers, book of Numbers. We're going to go over to Numbers chapter 30. Let's start in verse 1. Numbers 30, verse 1. We want to get to the heart of the matter. And Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. When a man vows a vow to Yahweh or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall not do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." When we make a vow, when we take that vow at baptism to say that we're going to serve you, Yahweh, we're going to be faithful till the end, that's something we have to live up to. It means we can't just walk away from the vow. When you give a vow, you have to live up to that vow. Also, when a woman vows a vow to Yahweh and binds herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and her bond which she has bound her soul, and her father holds his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand. Every bond with which she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father forbids her in the day that he hears, none of her vows or of her bonds with which she has bound her soul shall stand. And Yahweh will forgive her because her father forbid her. What if her father makes that vow, but it pertains to her, like Jephthah did when he said, "Whatever comes to greet me when I come home, if you give me victory, I'm going to dedicate to you." And his daughter, his only heir, came to him. Did Jephthah say, "Oh, sorry, Yahweh, I can't do it. I meant if it was whatever animal"? He didn't do that. He didn't cancel the vow. And what did his daughter do? She accepted it. She didn't have to accept that. "What do you mean I'm going to be dedicated to Yahweh? I want a life. I want a family." But no, she became a virgin to her death. She dedicated herself because her father made a vow. And she accepted it. See, that wouldn't fly too well with our young people today if we made a vow for them to Yahweh. See, it's important that we understand the relationship that we're in. We're in a very, very important relationship. Almighty Yahweh is the only living El. He's the only one that can give life. He can take it as well. In verse 6 of Numbers 30 it says, "And if she is married to a husband while her vows are upon her, or the rash utterance of her lips with which she has bound her soul, the husband hears it and holds his peace at her in the day that he hears it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds with which she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband forbids her in the day that he hears it, then he shall make void her vow which is on her, and the rash utterance of her lips with which she has bound her soul, and Yahweh will forgive her." Sometimes we get caught up in the spirit. You know, we might be at the feast. Say, one of our spouses, you know, our wives, say, "Hey, I want to give $10,000 or whatever for this cause or this." And the husband says, "No, I'm sorry, honey, we can't afford to do that." You know, He can cancel that vow. Yahweh says it right here in the Word. See? But if the husband holds his peace and whatever she wants to do, that's fine. Then she's committed to doing it. And if she comes up short and they don't fulfill that vow, then they've lied to Yahweh. See? So it's important that we think about what we say. Get to the heart of the matter. Because we have to understand that when you vow a vow, defer not to pay it. See, because we're talking to Almighty Yahweh. But the vow of a widow or a virgin that is divorced, even everything with which she has bound her soul shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound her soul by a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and forbid her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond with which she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband made them null and void in the day that he heard them, then whatever proceeded out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and Yahweh will forgive her. It says Yahweh will forgive her. See? We have to trust and believe that. A lot of people don't believe that Yahweh has forgiven their sins after they've made vows rashly. See? Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether holds his peace at her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her bonds which are upon her. And he has established them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he makes them null and void after that he has heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. Then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which Yahweh commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, being in her youth in her father's house. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Verse 1, it says, my soul waits in silence for Elohim only. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my high tower. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you set upon a man that you may kill him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They only consult to thrust him down from his dignity. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait in silence for Elohim only, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my high tower. I shall not be moved. With Elohim, my salvation. Elohim is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in Elohim. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Elohim is a refuge for us. So we have to trust in Yahweh at all times. Not sometime. Not 99% of the time. All times. And then pour out your heart before him. Sometimes you just got to have that conversation. You just got to get to the heart of the matter. You got to go to Yahweh and talk to him and let him know where you're coming from. He already knows even before you ask. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and Elohim said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have showed to your servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have kept for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Yahweh, my Elohim, you have made your servant king instead of David, my father. But I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is among your people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people? See, Solomon asked the right thing. He asked for an understanding heart because he wanted to be able to judge from the word of Yahweh correctly. He wanted to judge the people of Israel. He wanted to discern between good and evil. In verse 10 it says, "And the speech pleased Yahweh that Solomon had asked this thing. And that Elohim said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, neither have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word." He did it according to Solomon's word. That which Solomon desired, Yahweh gave him. He gave him great wisdom. "Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has been none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like you. And I have also given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you will walk," and he made it conditional still, "and if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." See? So he said, if you will walk in the commandments as David your father did, I'm going to also lengthen your days, as he did with Hezekiah. He gave Hezekiah 15 more years. But he also said that to Solomon. And in verse 15, "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of Yahweh and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants," because he knew that it was true, even though it was a dream. And that's how Yahweh communicated with him. He came to him in a dream. Psalm 15. Turn back to Psalm 15. I use this passage several times. It's my favorite passage here at the feast, it seems. Psalm 15 says, "Yahweh, who shall sojourn in your tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart." See, you know, it's terrible that people lie to themselves. But Yahweh knows when you lie to him. And when we vow vows and say that we're going to do certain things and don't do them, we've lied. He that slanders not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes are reprobate is despised, but who honors them that fear Yahweh. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that puts not out his money to interest, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved, because he's going to be in that kingdom. And that's what we want. We want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, it says, keep your foot when you go to the house of Elohim, for to draw near to hear is better than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they know not that they do evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before Elohim, for Elohim is in heaven, and you upon the earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with a multitude of business, and a fool's voice with a multitude of words. When you vow a vow to Elohim, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you vow. Better is it that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel, it was an error. Why should I be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams there are vanity, and in many words, but fear Elohim. And that's the key, brethren. If we fear Yahweh, then we're going to actually not say things that we're not going to live up to. We're going to think first. Because when you get right down to the heart of the matter, the problem is too many people talk first and think second. And you're supposed to think before you speak. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is very corrupt. Who can know it? Yahweh knows it. I, Yahweh, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge that sits on the eggs which he has not laid, so is he that gets riches and not by right. In the middle of his days they shall leave him, and at his end he shall be a fool. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be put to shame. And truly, everyone that leaves, after they vow to Yahweh that they're going to be faithful and they walk away from Yahweh, enters and does the same thing. Because Yahweh is the hope of Israel. All that forsake you shall be put to shame. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. And see, that last great day, those living waters are open to all those, as Joshua says, come unto me and drink, all you that are heavy laden. He's going to lighten each and every one of our burdens. When we get down to the heart of the matter, we have to trust Yahweh. It says in verse 14, heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Behold, they say to me, where is the word of Yahweh? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a shepherd after you. Neither have I desired that woeful day. You know, that which came out of my lips was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are a refuge in the day of evil. And he will be a refuge to those that are sincere, brethren, that have made their vows and are keeping those vows. Let them be dismayed, but do not let me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. The heart is deceitful above all things, but we know what the heart of the matter is. And the problem that arises is that too many people say, and do not. Turn to Ezra. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra was a scribe that had came, that was in the captivity in the Babylonian captivity after the Persians took over for the Babylonians. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of Yahweh and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances." He set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to do it. Not just for his benefit. He did it so that he would teach Yahweh statutes and ordinances in Israel. That's what Ezra did. He made up his mind to get to the heart of the matter. He knew that it was the covenant of Almighty Yahweh. And he knew that he had to teach that covenant. Job chapter 33. The sacred scriptures is 435, page 435. We're going to start at verse 3. It says, "My words shall utter the uprightness of my heart. This is Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite. He's talking to Job. He told him in verse 1, "Job, I pray you, hear my speech and listen to all my words." In verse 3, he says, "My words shall utter the uprightness of my heart, and that which my lips know, they shall speak sincerely. The spirit of El has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me, stand forth. Behold, I am toward El, even as you are. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make you afraid, neither shall my presence be heavy upon you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of your words, saying, I am clean without sin, without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there any iniquity in me. There is no sin in me." This is what Elihu is telling Job that he's hearing from him. "Behold, he finds occasion against me. He counts me for his enemy. He puts my feet in stocks. He marks all my paths. Behold, I will answer you, and this you are not just. For Eloah is greater than man." And yes, Yahweh is greater than man in every aspect. That's why we have to understand we cannot murmur against Yahweh. We cannot speak evil or negative about Yahweh. Verse 13, why did you quarrel against him? For that he gives not account of any of his matters? For El speaks once, yes, twice, though man regards it not. In a dream, and we saw that when he spoke to Solomon, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon their bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So this is what Yahweh wants. He wants to hide pride from man. He wants us to be better than we would be without him. And truly, we are better with Yahweh in our lives. Think about it. Are you better off with Yahweh in your life than you were without Yahweh? There was a time when we didn't have Yahweh in our lives. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 20 to 23. We're trying to get to the heart of the matter, brother. That's what this message is about. See? We're trying to draw closer to Yahweh. He says in Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Yahweh, that shall stand. That which makes man to be desired is his kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of Yahweh tends to life, and he that has it shall remain satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And we don't want to be visited with evil. We just want the good. We just want to know the good. We don't want to know the evil. See? We don't want to be like Eve, who desired to know the good and evil. And Yahweh has already given him all good. I'd rather have all good. I think I'll pass on the evil. What about you? Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. That's 542 in the sacred scriptures. We're going to start in verse 1, go down to verse 8. It says, who is as the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? Man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I counsel you, keep the king's command, and regard of the oath of Elohim. Be not hasty to go out of his presence. Persist not in the evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. For the king's word has power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps the commandment shall know no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. For to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Because the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be. For who can tell him how it shall be but Yahweh? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power over the day of death. And there is no discharge in war, neither shall wickedness deliver him that is given to it. So what we should do is seek Yahweh. Seek to know the heart of the matter, which is the covenant, which is learning of Yahweh. We need to know what Yahweh has prepared for his people. And Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 18. Actually, we'll start at verse 14. He says, for by one offering he has perfected forever. them that are sanctified. And that one offering is Yahshua the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he has said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh, I will put my laws on their hearts, and upon their mind also will I write them. Then he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's no more an offering for sin, brethren. Yahweh has cleansed us through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah to get to the heart of the matter. We've accepted that blood sacrifice. Therefore, we can't go back to our old ways, to the things that we did before we knew Yahshua the Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 21 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 21 to 23. First Peter chapter 2, 21 to 23, it says, for to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's what Yahshua did. He committed himself to Yahweh. Can we do any greater? We have to commit ourselves as well, brethren. Really trying to get to the heart of the matter. I'm going to read verse 24 as well. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The law of Yahweh is awesome, brother. It is awesome. We cannot think of anything better that we could do except accepting our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. There's a separation between what's going on in the world, what's going on for those who are marching to Zion, going to the kingdom. They've taken up the banner of Yahweh. Yahweh Nisi, our banner. They've accepted the sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah. To get right down to the heart of the matter, they have proven what is good as far as Yahweh is concerned. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to start at verse 8. That's Ezekiel 36, verse 8. It says, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you. All the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be built. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited at your former estate, and will do better unto you than at your beginning. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yes, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance. And you shall no more from now on rob them of children. Drop down to verse 16. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their way and by their doings. Their way before me was as the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood which they had poured out upon the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way, according to their doings, I judged them. And when they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, and that men said of them, These are the people of Yahweh, and they have gone forth out of his land. But I have regard for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the middle of them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, says the sovereign Yahweh. When I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and to keep my ordinances, and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim, and I will save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the grain and will multiply it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. Then shall you remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. It says, Not for your sake do I this, says the sovereign Yahweh. Be it known to you, be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. In this manner, says the sovereign Yahweh, in the day that I cleanse you from all your sins, all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be built. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled, whereas it was a desolation in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities, and fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I, Yahweh, have built the ruined places, and planted that which was desolate. I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it. in this manner, says Sovereign Yahweh. For this, moreover, will I be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the flock for sacrifice, as the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast. So shall the great city be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Yahweh's the one that's going to bring this to pass. He's the one that's going to give that new heart to Israel. He's going to get to the heart of the matter, brethren. Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people who have a humble heart, a willing heart. Those that are sincere in keeping his covenant law and his commandments in these last days. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him on this last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll ask at this time if Brother Willie will come and close with a word of prayer.
Father, we pause on this last great day, Father. What a wonderful feast we've had, Father. Bring us here again tomorrow, Father, with a new attitude, with new hope, and a new vision, Father. Most of all, let us all come with a willing heart to be teached and to be teached, Father. A malleable heart that can be molded, Father, that can be shaped, mind and soul, Father, that we will always look to you for guidance. We will always look to you for health and strength, and most of all, knowledge and wisdom, Father. Strengthen YPTC. Strengthen the people that's here. Strengthen the people on the hookup. Bless them, Father. Keep your angels about them and keep them safe. And most of all, keep us united. You have kept Satan at bay, Father, here. We have had a wonderful, wonderful feast. And, Father, we give you thanks and praise for that. In your Son's name, we ask, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Amen.